I'm very excited about sharing my experience of finding an apartment which was affordable and comfortable for our international healthcare professionals.
Welcome to Nursing in America, where nurses share journeys of courage and hope in building new lives in the U.S. Today's episode, Renting Your First Apartment. From budgeting and paperwork to move-in day, we'll hear firsthand how nurses navigated this essential step in their American journey. In this episode, we have two nurses, starting with Mia, a nurse from the Philippines, who also posts vlogs online.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nurse Mia. I'm a nurse from the Philippines. I've been here for almost 4 years now, and I have a YouTube channel where I talk about nursing in the States and my life here in the States. So please subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'd love to have you there, and you can also get in touch with me there.
Nurse Anna Cruz will share some good stories.
I'm Anna Cruz. I'm one of the admin of Lefora, and I've been in New York for 7 years, and I'm so excited to share you how I got my first apartment without credit score. So stay tuned, and you're going to learn more.
This episode also features two experts who will share valuable tips. One of them is Namita, who already had a lot of experience recruiting nurses.
My name is Namita, and I am an immigrant. I moved here about 25 years ago, and before joining Kinetics, I worked as an international recruiter for a major hospital facility in the Midwest and onboarded hundreds of nurses. So I'm very excited about sharing my experience of finding an apartment which was affordable and comfortable for our international healthcare professionals.
Last but not least, Christian is also one of our expert guests.
My name is Christian Spicer. I'm a local developer here in San Diego. I've owned and operated a property management business in San Diego since I was 19. I'm 35, so I guess that's 16 years.
Nurse Mia did her homework on affordable housing.
At first, I wanted to save money, so I tried finding a roommate. It was really cheap, $300 to share that apartment. But when I went there, I saw the place. It was messy, so I thought it's not a good idea. So I found another place, and that one was a shared unit. So we'd have a shared kitchen and a shared laundry, so I could be on the second floor and another person would be on the first floor. So I was also considering that because that was $600, and I thought I'd get save money. But they couldn't give me an assurance that the other tenant would be female, and I wanted the other person to be a female. So I said, I'm not going to do this. And I decided I'm just going to find another apartment where I can be on my own. So I found, I tried looking for a one-bedroom apartment, and I couldn't find one, but I found one with a loft. So it's basically like a two-bedroom unit with two bathrooms. And I got lucky because they actually gave me the rent for a one-bedroom apartment because they couldn't find a one-bedroom apartment for me. So I got lucky. And that's where I stayed for the last 3 years and almost 9 months now. I'm still at the same place.
Now let's hear from Anna, who arrived with no car, no credit, and no connections.
I arrived from 18. I have no credit score. I have no car. So what I use one of the apps. And I took the zip code. I called each number that I found on the app, and I asked them, hey, do you have any availability? And they replied back to my email, and they sent me all the requirements. So I applied in 5 rental apartments. Only one accepted me because I have no credit score. So I went there and showed my contract from my agency because they want to know if I'm working legally in the U.S., and sold my green card and a social security. So go for the basement to have your paperwork. So go for the basement, you look for type your zip code. And I told the one near to my place of work since I have no car, I was starting. And I live in New York, it's snowing. I'm gonna have a hard time going to work. It's a little expensive by the time, but it's all worth it because having no credit score, it gives you a big limitation in applying an apartment. So that's what my experience 7 years ago.
Namita shares practical tips for researching and budgeting.
It is very important to do your research. Mm-hmm. There are various websites you can use. Google is really helpful. And my recommendation is start your research early as 60 days prior to your move-in date so that you have enough time. And you can browse online apartment listings by zip code. It is also called postal code or PIN code. I know it's called postal code in India. Here it is a 5-digit zip code. And look at your employment, your employer's address. Figure out what the zip code is, look at the address, and then use that zip code to look for the apartment listing in the area where you want to stay. So you have already narrowed down the area, and you find out a list of apartments. And once you have that done, go on a virtual tour. I know because of COVID, sometimes it's difficult to go and have a personal tour. And when you are in the research phase, go on a virtual tour. Most of the apartment complexes will allow that. Also, determine your budget. This is very important because most of your salary, most part of your salary will go for your apartment rent. Then you have groceries. If you have a car payment, then you have to consider about that. Your moving cost, that is a big chunk of money. That is only one-time cost, but still you have to. So just figure out your budget. How much can you spend on the rent? Plan your commute. This is very important. Finding an apartment closer to where you work is really, really important initially when you are not driving in the new city. So that is also a good recommendation. And then decide on what amenities are important for you. Is swimming pool important to you? Having a gym important to you?
Just as too many amenities can lead to unnecessary expenses, a lack of them can also become a problem. Anna shared with us some of the unpleasant situations she's faced because of this.
The first time I rent an apartment, I was on fourth floor, no elevator. It was very neat, but we're sharing the same laundry in a basement. So I remember one time I came from work, I was so tired, and you have to do your laundry in a basement, and you live in fourth floor, and you have no elevator. I picked my laundry basket. So I was like, I'm gonna look for an apartment with my own laundry. So I moved an hour away from that place. So I found an apartment with my own laundry. My kit will be prioritize what you're gonna need. Swimming pool is not really important, in my opinion. Gym is not really important. You can go out in the park and run. Make sure that you have your own laundry. And when you have a child, my daughter was 5 years old then, we have a playground, so it helped us. And if you live in fourth floor, eighth floor, elevator, it's a must.
Mia highlighted an important tip about security deposits.
I didn't expect that I would be paying the deposit of 1 month worth of rent, because usually online you would see for my apartment, it would be $300 as a security deposit. For a rental of $1,200 per month. But because I didn't have a credit score, they told me, no, you can't get that price. It's also going to be $1,200 for the security deposit.
If Mia's story resonates with you and you are a healthcare worker interested in starting your journey to success in the USA, go to amnhealthcare.com/international to learn more and apply. Christian explains how rent varies by location.
There's a wide variety of apartments available, and each city has probably a very high income area and a moderate income area. And for San Diego, for example, 2 bedrooms you can find $2,500 a month up to $4,500 a month very easily.
He also listed some good websites and how to avoid common scams.
I really like apartments.com verifies who puts their information in. Hotpads.com is a very good way to figure out your competition on the property to see how much the area and how much value that apartment is. Realtor.com has some apartments on it. The one I would really kind of stick away from is Craigslist, to be honest. Craigslist is full of scams. And what they do is you reach out to them. They say, hey, I'm out of town. Please fill out this application, wire me some money, and then I'll give you the access to the apartment. And when you do that, you've lost your money. You're gone and you do not have the apartment. So the biggest thing you have to worry about any of these websites is there can be scams out there. And the most important thing is to go to the property if you can, meet the individual, see the property firsthand, and then apply. Because if you just apply online, not through like a large company website, but through like a through the email, and you wire that money in, you have a high chance that you're going to be scammed. You're going to lose out on that money.
Namita shows another way to demonstrate financial security beyond a credit score.
The onboarding specialist at Kinetics is a great resource, I would say, because if you do not have a credit score, and most of the times when the nurses arrive, they do not have their social security number that arrives. So your onboarding specialist can talk on your behalf. And also the onboarding specialist at the hospital side can speak on your behalf. The hospital can also give you a verification of employment letter. So it is not your whole offer letter. It is just a letter from your employer that you are employed, whatever the length is. So that gives an assurance to the landlord that you have a stable job and you can pay your rents on time.
Christian breaks down what to expect in a lease agreement.
There's usually a 5 or 7 page document that's actually your lease. The pages that actually go through your rent, your deposit, your pet deposit, your rules and regulations. There's a lot of safety addendums that get added to it here in California, for example, that are there to protect the tenant, not really protect the landlord. So some of the lease is actually really good for the tenant itself. Now, there's a lot of interesting addendums that can be added to the lease. And those are very, very important to read. If you do not read those, those are basically rules, covenants, and restrictions on your apartment and what you're allowed and not allowed to do. And basically, those are very, very important to read. Your pet agreement is also very important to read. Making sure that you fill out your move-in, move-out form. If you don't fill that out and submit that in the required time, you could relinquish your deposit at your move out stage. So it's very important to make sure you fill out what's called your memo, move in, move out statement.
Namita outlines the essential documents for immigrants.
So definitely they will need an employment letter. Definitely they need some kind of ID. So passport information is very important. If you do not have your SSN that time or a driver's license, you will not, if you do not have a credit score then. So this is some of the list that is on here. Have your emergency contacts ready because that's very important. Some of the employers will let you put themselves as the emergency contact, but have some emergency contacts like your friends and relatives in the area or the country ready. So an ID is very important. An offer letter is very important. If you have a bank already established, have a bank account, have a bank statement ready.
She also taught how to avoid unexpected rent increases.
The rents do go up, but if you sign a lease for a year, so you are locked in with that rent for a year. Okay. And so there is a chance. So read your lease agreement before signing it, because some lease agreements will specify that your rent is going to go up a fixed dollar amount or a percentage of your rent. So make sure you read your lease thoroughly before signing it and having that discussion before the landlord.
Nurse Mia describes her move-in experience.
It was great. Everything was freshly painted and it was very clean. So, and it was very spacious considering that I'm only going to be living alone. So it was a good experience and it was empty. So most of the first few weeks was just spent on shopping for furniture and stuff at the house because I didn't have anything except for my clothes.
Namita offers budgeting tips for move-in costs.
There is initial moving cost, and then since you get a temporary housing, so my recommendation is do not buy a lot of furniture while you are in your temporary accommodation. Then you have more stuff and more, you'll pay more for the moving. So as you move into your empty apartment, then you start slowly furnishing it room by room. Like, see, and don't furnish the entire apartment at once. Just buy the necessary things. You'll buy kitchen gadgets. That's very important if you like to cook. And you will need a bed to sleep on. So these are some of the important things. However, there will be transportation costs. So if your children in school and you are not in the school district, there isn't school buses everywhere in every city. So you have that additional transportation either to work or for your children. So these are some of the additional costs that you have to budget for, and especially the renter's insurance is some of the apartment complexes will not allow you to move in without a renter's insurance. So these are some of the additional costs that you have to bear in mind.
Christian concludes with advice on handling issues after move-in.
I think communication is really key with your landlord. If you want to do changes, something breaks, communication is very important to notify your landlord and request that you need to have this fixed or, hey, I'd like to paint this wall. I know for a fact, like what we do, if people want to paint the walls, we basically tell them that if we don't like it when we move in, we may have to put it back to the colors just so they know that ahead of time. But it's really imperative to have really good communication with your landlord and do not be afraid to reach out to them to ask questions and to notify them that there is things fixed. Like, I want to know if there's something broken in my apartments because if I don't, I can't get it fixed and it's going to cause future damage. So don't be afraid to reach out. We're here to help.
Renting your first apartment in the U.S. can be overwhelming. But with the right preparation, support, and mindset, it's a milestone worth celebrating. Whether you're navigating zip codes, lease terms, laundry rooms, remember, this is your space, your start, your story. That's Nursing in America. These nurses turn dreams into reality through courage and heart. You can too. Take that leap, embrace the journey, and build your future in America. Until next time, keep moving onwards and upwards.